Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Stuart Thompson. I'm broadcasting live from Gatehouse here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Etobicoke, I would like to say, which is really Toronto now. But welcome. Hopefully, I'm working here tonight. I know there's some difficulties going on with Rob Talk in regards to making connection, but I'm on here. It says I'm on here, so let's give her a whirl and see what happens. Tonight, well, I got a few things I'm going to talk about, mainly. Well, one, I'm a man. I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. And there's so much hype going on in the media nowadays. You know, I've been kind of reflecting on this the last few broadcasts I've done in regards to, well, what Hollywood's doing. And not just Hollywood. It seems to be all around here in the province I live in, Ontario, Canada. For example, last night or today, one of the in our provincial level of government, one of the head of the party, he had to resign because he had made sexual advances towards some women back in the past, and they've come forward now. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is that it's all over the media now, and people are coming out. Granted, it's mainly women, which is great, and there is a few men that are doing it, and I think that's great too, but far from being enough as far as I'm concerned to really make any difference in regards to, well, as being a man is concerned. I'll elaborate a little bit more on that as I go through the evening. But nevertheless, it's in the media all over the place. We can't escape it. If you're in the Hollywood, well, you're going to hear lots about it there. And if you're following government and all that sort of stuff, well, you're going to hear about that as well. You know, and I hear about it lots, for example, in the UK, for example, about people in government doing this sort of thing. And it doesn't sit very nicely in me whatsoever, and it's drawn all kinds of, well, never mind the controversy that it's caused amongst governments themselves, but it's also caused a lot of, well, why would we trust somebody in government, for example, that's going to make sexual advances on their own staff, for example? So that possesses a really, really good question as far as I'm concerned. And what do you do with these people? Well, I don't know. I would think you wouldn't do anything different than you would if they were not in government, if they were just in the private sector, and if they had committed an offense. Well, typically, regardless of what country you're in, whether it be Canada, the U.S., or the U.K., or some country in Europe, or go to the South Pacific, to Japan, Malaysia, for example, Australia. You know, places like that. I mean, we all have our different laws. I get that. But what I'm saying is that with these laws that they have in place in these countries, not just with the UK and the Commonwealth, and one of the other countries as well, I mean, we all have different laws and how we address this issue. But I know a lot of countries, like, for example, like in the United States, for example, they've got to probably be one of the hardest as far as doing time is concerned, and there's tons of things that I'm getting at, is they got to be one of the hardest that I'm aware of. I mean, I know there's other countries that are even harder than this in regards to their sentencing and regarding sexual abuse towards women and children, of course, as well. And, excuse me. So it makes me think, well, if you got people in government that are doing this, and even in Hollywood, these are all pretty powerful people. And they seem to, well, not a theme, is rather, if this has really been what's been going on over the last, well, I'll say 100 years, 150 years, where they seem to think that they're above the law. And what I mean by that is that they seem to think that they can do, they commit these crimes and seem to, and believe that they can get away with it. Granted, I really believe that those times are going to change, but I really think that as a public, or we the public, need to kind of push this along at an expedited, at a greater level. Why would we leave it up to Hollywood to perpetuate us from wanting to move forward? I think it's great and it's admirable that they do come forward and we're talking about this. But at the same time, and in my opinion, I'm going to say is I think that they're just taking care of themselves. And what I mean by that is, well, yes, Hollywood, for example, they're in their own group of people. They're famous. They got all kinds of money and power, and they think and feel they can do just about anything. I would just use Weinstein as an example, right? There's others too that I can mention as well, but I'm only just saying that's the top of my head. So the thing that these people seem to think that they can get away with whatever the hell they want to get away with is really, well, it's beyond me. But nevertheless, there are laws, and why should they, or why are they above the law, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, is why, just why? There's a whole lot of whys here, and really no answers to the whys. That's why I think as a public, just my rant, by the way, I'm having here before I get going here, why would we not want to make change? As a man, being brought up in this day, in my time and to this day and age, things have really, really changed. I remember being a child growing up, and the stigmas around being a male and not being able to talk about certain things was, in my opinion, it was really, really pure stupidity. Because I think of all the men that have been through similar trauma to what I've been having, or the exact same type of trauma, or some types of just trauma in general, and that could be a broad spectrum, where they've had to basically keep their mouth shut and not say a thing for basically all their lives. Or like myself, 7 years ago, coming out and coming and finding the heathens, for example, and talking about my childhood sexual abuse, and talking about it quite freely, to be honest with you, and not really worried myself personally about getting shamed by others. Come and shame me all you want. You can't shame me any more than what I've already been shamed, and you can't disgrace me any more than I've been disgraced. I've done lots of nasty things and bad things. And done this and done that. So really, I'm not out there looking for somebody to come back and do that sort of thing to me. Well, I welcome you. You're welcome to make you feel better. But I'm getting at is being a man and having the belief, or rather growing up on the belief, that just because you're a man means that you can't show feelings and you can't show your hurt, you can't show your anguish, and if you do, you show that you're weak. Well, I really, really tend to disagree with that matter. I've seen lots of very, very powerful men display their vulnerable to whatever degree and still be greatly supported, but there's still a vast number of men out there that really believe that by being vulnerable, that means that you're weak and insecure and whatever else may be attached to that. Well, I still say it's a load of crap, and I don't believe that for a second, because it's not. What I've learned from being vulnerable is that by being vulnerable, it's given me power within for myself, given me confidence, and I do not feel any shame whatsoever talking about this whatsoever anymore. Like I said, you can't shame me for, I've been shamed enough all my life. You can't change that with me whatsoever. Good luck on that one. But yes, the shame and the stigma is behind that about keeping your chin up and not being, being brave and, be a tough soldier or a tough dude or whatever the hell you want to call yourself. Is really the way to go. Well, I still say that's bullshit nowadays. You can still be all that, but you can also be vulnerable at the same time, is my point. You can't move forward in life. You can't grow personally, not just with yourself, but you can't grow personally in relationships or in connections without being honest in that matter, in that fact, as far as I'm concerned. Yes, I'm sure some things are best left unsaid, and some things are just best left behind closed doors, because it's just plain simple nobody's business. But there's some things like this that I'm talking about, violence towards women and children. Well, it really is not, It's not something you place behind the door, which it has been placed behind the closet door for many, many, many years. And I really believe that those things are starting to change. There's all kinds of people are fed up. I'm fed up. Here I am. I've been talking about this for years and was watching the world change in its own way. And what I mean by that is that how it's changing is that, well, the conversation of abuse is really out there now. And whether it be by women or by men, it really, you know, either side, it really hasn't. People are listening, is what I'm guessing is what I'm trying to say. People are listening, and I believe that people want change, as I want change. And really, last thing I would love to say that I'm not volunteering here at the Gatehouse anymore, because everybody who's been through this experience has had help, and society does not do this anymore. Towards their own children, their siblings, strangers doing it to your children, you know, the list goes on. You know, racial abuse. It has to change. It needs to change in many, many ways. I know if humanity can't grab a hold of this, then we are truly destined for disaster. As far as socially is concerned, because really, if we can't trust one another, even on an intimate level, to any degree, then how are we really to grow as humans? How are we to make these connections? How are we to evolve in a manner where, well, this is really going to sound far out there, but where somebody far out there will actually make contact with us? That's really far out there. I know that, but. And may even seem kind of far-stretched, but really it's not. Never mind even just that. Imagine living in a society where we have no functionability in regards to making connection with our children and making connection with our lover or wife or your husband or being able to have a simple connection at work. And women having to worry that their boss is going to make an advance on them just because they have power to either fire them or hire them, or just because you are a great actor, for example, and you're in Hollywood, for example, and you can really, really brighten up the screen and you can do, you know, you can draw people in and you can make lots and lots of money, or you're a politician, and you think that just because you're a politician that you have power to, you know, to abuse. So those are some things that really have me thinking this last while. I'm looking at this stuff and talking about, I've been fighting this stuff for a long time, and just to see all this stuff coming up, you know, after all this time where people have had to literally keep this stuff buried for years upon years upon years and upon years. You know, sometimes we have participants come into the Gatehouse, and I was just saying this last night to somebody. You know, when we have people come into the Gatehouse that are in their 70s, for example, and older, for example, they're finally dealing with this. I mean, I'm talking about men now. I'm not just talking, well, even women too, but I'm talking about men in general. And where they're coming in now after all these years, and they finally found a place that they can actually talk about it, where they're not, where other men are not going to, you know, and shame the hell out of them, because obviously we're all going through the same experience. Excuse me. I'll ask you as a man, even, if you're listening, or a woman, you talk to your husband, or your boyfriend, or a friend, whatever, your father, your brother. Now, if you haven't been through this experience, or if you have been through this experience, I really would recommend, or rather, I would suggest to you, I would ask you, I appall you to ask, how would they feel if this happened to them, as a man? Ask them. And I would really love to be the fly on the wall when I hear this stuff. From, especially from all the different diversities around the world, what would different men say towards that? What were they brought up to believe about this type of abuse, whether it be childhood sexual abuse, domestic violence, or, I mean, raping a woman, beating a woman, like, your children too, like, I mean, come on. So I asked, like, why don't you ask them and see what they say? Have things changed? Has humanity gotten safer? Does humanity recognize this is really a problem? Does humanity really care? Does humanity really want to do anything about this? Do we have to keep living like this? Is this what our future has in store for us? So these are really, really good questions. I mean, granted, I could be talking through a hat right now, and really not get any, well, what I would call a conclusive answer to these questions. Nevertheless, these questions need to be asked. Like, even if you haven't been through this experience, I mean, if you're a woman and you're in a relationship and you've had this experience, I would certainly would want to ask my partner about that, provided you're on, I mean, you could even be in a relationship now where you haven't disclosed this to your partner, whether you're a man or a woman. I think in many, many years as a man where I never said anything at all to my relationships. And where did that get me? Really? Anyway, my point, my rant, as I just went on here before I just started, to whatever degree, to the degree that I'm going to get at, I think it's time to wake up and smell the coffee, man. Really, it is. I really think it's time we change. And if men are supposed to be the powers to be in the world as they are, then we are the ones to really make the change. Why do we have to rely on Hollywood, for example, or to rely on, well, not even a question of relying on, but having to listen to this stuff what politicians are doing and what actors have been through when it happens outside their world pretty much daily, minute by minute, and right in your own backyard, or rather right at your it could be your neighbor for all you know. And yet society seems to, I can't say they thrive off it, but they seem to, well, I don't know, I'm trying to find the right choice of words for this, but anyway, it's wrong. I guess is really what I'm trying to say. It's just plain wrong. Time for changes now, and I really hope things are going to start rolling around. We talk about Hollywood, for example. I'm hoping that Oprah Winfrey, for example, there's a really, really powerful woman right there, for example. People like her, for example, would be a great example of, or would be a good person would be to help to change society. I mean, I don't know if she ever run for president, like she's talked about, but she certainly would be a great advocate for domestic violence and childhood sexual abuse all around. And yet, she does advocate for it, but again, it's just something that's it's only minimal. Really, it is. The U.S. consists of 350-plus million people. Canada, we're 35 million people. The U.K., they're somewhere around 90 million or 95 million, over 100 million people, for example. Surely between our nations and others, which I've not mentioned, we can come up with something, really. Really, I know our laws are different, but something united could really change things. I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. Really, I am. I'm just throwing it out there. Not saying it's going to happen. I'm suggesting it would be a great thing for it to happen, but I know, in my own opinion, I know what I would love to do is I would love to meet with a bunch of people internationally and talk about this problem and talk about resolution. And what I mean by resolution, about how to bring change to humanity, whether it be teaching it in the schools or in the colleges, the universities, promoting it in your workplace, promoting it on billboards, all kinds of things. All these things are what helps promote change. You know, if one country sees, like, these changes, then maybe another country might see that change, because it kind of, it's kind of how it starts. It's kind of like Well, when dove bombs were in the UK, well, they kind of spoke over to the US and then to Canada and other places. Well, granted, that's only a metaphor, but you get the idea of what I'm trying to say. If you can bring a trend of pants or shoes or purse or even music, for example, and you can bring it over to other places, then you can surely you can bring change to the idea of sexual abuse. Is really what I'm getting at. And I believe it's possible. And I still think it's going to take a little bit, a little bit of time. It's going to take a long time. I'm hoping that before my time, that there actually will be some change. I don't know if that will ever happen, but that's what I would like to believe and really hope that there will be change. We need more advocates out there to do this, not only to beat on government heads to change the laws, to make tougher sentences, to bring in education to the schools, not just in schools, but everywhere, to the workplace, everything. You know, most places have a sexual harassment policy, although it seemed like it's a lot too late, but not really, because it's still going, it still goes on, and it still goes on. Yeah, I mean, it's like there's no stopping it. Well, I think there's no stopping. There is a stopping to it, and it's all about education and showing people that it's wrong and teaching people it's wrong from a very young age. In other words, you need to break the chain. Not all people that have been abused other people. Again, it's another stigma that, like, for example, if you're abused as sexually abused as a child, then you're going to sexually abuse as an adult. Well, that's a load of crap. Total load of crap. And if anything, what's happened with my sexual abuse, for example, all it's done for me is, well, I certainly never sexually abused anybody, or especially a child, but I've always had no belief in regards to what I believe towards myself. In other words, no self-worth, no self-esteem, not believing that I can really accomplish anything. So basically, I'm believing what my groomers have taught me, and that's how I live my life, like a secret. Like many of you probably might have done out there as well. So this is where it's time to change. So Hollywood, knock yourself out. Make all kinds of noise. Government people, whether you're here in Canada or abroad or any other country, well, keep screwing up because you're getting caught, right? And you're not going to get away with it anymore. It's the same thing in Hollywood. You're screwing up. You think you have all this power. You don't. Well, at least you thought you did, because your so-called power and money is not working anymore. It is, people are fed up, and they don't want to be treated like that anymore. In other words, your power to give me a job or to take my job away, well, you can shove it up your, as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't wash with me. At the end of the day, when I go home, it's not going to matter one little bit what I said or what I didn't say. It's not really going to change, but that's what I believe anyway. But there's time. One thing we have on our side is time, and I really believe that, and really, we're going to fight for it, keep fighting for it, for change. The Gay House, for example, it's been here 20 years this year. In June, it'll be here 20 years. Right now, we're having a bit of a rough spell. We could use some funds because we're kind of in the hole. Remember, if you know anything about the Gay House, we are purely privately funded by donations and grants. We do not rely on the government for handouts to keep us going, to pay our bills and to pay the staff. We have run on a minimal staff as it is, and the minimal staff helps keep the volunteers going here at the Gay House. But other than that, that's how it's run. So it is this problem of people coming out to it is a great thing, people are coming out. But the problem is, what I'm getting at is that the Gay House is could use some more funding. And if you know somebody out there who's very rich or something and wants to throw some money away, well, they can throw it this way. You know somebody rich in Hollywood, you can throw it this way. You know somebody in government who's very, very wealthy, you can throw it this way. Because in the last 20 years that the gatehouse has been around, we've had over 20,000 people come through the gatehouse. Think about it, 20,000 plus people have come through this house and have had some kind of, have had peer support in helping them with what they experienced as a child, being child with sexual abuse. And I'm talking about where they've helped 20,000 men and women plus over a period of 20 years. Imagine, think about that. That's a lot of people. I know the world has a lot more people, but 20,000 people is a lot of people. And it's always been free for the participants coming into the house. So I guess kind of what I'm saying, too, along here, along with my little rant here at the same time, is that if you know somebody with some extra cash, well, the gatehouse can sure use it. Because, we, like I say, we rely on private donations and grants, and we're just not cutting it these days. It's just not there. So we could use a little bit of help. And we'd be truly grateful, and you'd be helping a lot of people by helping us get the doors open here. Which kind of brings me into this. The hardest thing that any of us had to do to have compassion for ourselves. As children, we felt responsible for the things that happened to us. We blamed ourselves for the things that we were done to us for the deprivations that we suffered. There's nothing more powerful in this transformational process than being able to go back to that child who exists within us and say, it wasn't your fault. We didn't do anything wrong. You were just a kid, a little kid. As long as we were judging and shaming ourselves and giving the power to the disease, we are feeling the monster that is devouring us. We need to take responsibility without taking blame. We need to own and honor the feelings without being a victim. Then we need to rescue the nurture and love our inner child and stop them from controlling your lives. Stop them from driving the bus. Children are not supposed to drive. They are not supposed to be the ones in control. So, you know, when I'm talking with the inner child, and they're kind of just did a little bit there. Our child, our inner child, is kind of like a codependent. Really, it is. So we don't even realize it sometimes, but in our behaviors, I've even seen it in myself in the past, and even to this day, to whatever level, not to any great level as I might have noticed it before in the past or recognized it from my past behaviors. But having an inner child as a codependent is not really a lot of fun, especially when you're trying to make connection with other people. Because really that little child inside you, he doesn't trust anybody. All they really want to do is just go off and be themselves. And they do want to play with anybody if they pick and choose. And trust me, when I say they pick and choose, the picking and choosing is very slim pickings. Because most people, they don't trust. So what are we supposed to do? So that little codependent inside us basically kind of guides us along or controls our thoughts and emotions in regards to making connection and wanting to move forward or just being you, you know? When we look back at what happened to us and when we realize how it affected us, I mean, I look at it back now and think, well, how it affected me in many, many ways where I couldn't function in society. And being a man, I'm sure it made it worse. As I've kind of talked about from the beginning, being a man and being a survivor of childhood sexual abuse has not been an easy go. And even coming to the stage front and talking about it to the level that I am now and doing public speaking and doing this and doing that and giving my story in a book and, oh, my gosh, But it's been nonstop for me. But yet, these stigmas that I talked about right from the beginning, like for men, for example, are still there, very much in the limelight. And that part is going to be really, really slow. It's going to be kind of like slow, getting it into schools, like I was talking about from the beginning. Like Charmaine, for example, Charmaine Leverin. She's also a facilitator here at the Gatehouse. And she also has an organization called I Choose, where she educates children and adults in regards to childhood sex abuse. And she's helped a lot of people, Charmaine. She's finally got it into our provincial parliament about bringing it into the schools, as I've talked about. It still has to be tabled in the House, and not in the House of Commons, but in Parliament, provincial Parliament. But at least it's there now, and it's going to be put on the table. Now, I think it's a perfect time to do it because, in the light of the opposition leader Horvath having to step down because of his sexual advances towards his staff or whoever it was when he was in federal politics, I think it would be a great time to be doing this. So, frankly, I took my hat off to you, Charmaine, for even bringing this bill to our government, and it couldn't be a better time. So, I was thinking, you know, if living in our true self requires us to feel feelings and grieve our losses, stop denying our pain and accept our vulnerability, become aware of our defense mechanisms, stop filling our emptiness with alcohol, drugs, compulsions, and turn away from codependency, focusing on others to detriment on oneself. It's important to know that the inner healing cannot be successful unless the first we overcome our addictions, for example. We need to recover that inner child, feel the feelings of sadness, anger, rage, guilt, and shame. Without addressing and dealing with the painful feelings of our childhood, we will find it very hard to move on with our lives. Our emotional development freezes when we have been severely traumatized. We repeat mistakes over and over and over again. We get stuck in our present state, which could include ongoing feelings and loneliness, depression, anxiety, emptiness, bad decisions, bad relationships, codependency, as I've been talking about, addictions, as I've also been talking about, compulsions, inappropriate behavior, suicidal thoughts, gestures, etc., etc., etc. Therapists are usually a little bit baffled by presenting atypical symptoms. Many individuals with distressed inner child have been diagnosed with psychiatric illnesses, such as DID or dissociative disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, borderline personality disorder, bipolar disorder, psychosis, etc., etc. The list kind of goes on, if you're catching my drift. There could be an accompanying physical symptoms that range from minor aches and pains to cancer. Where was I? Oh, yes. Repressed emotions are stored in the body and cannot be manifested into and can be manifested into serious illnesses. It's a fact that many people have inner child issues. However, varying pain we suffer may not be comparable, no matter to the degree of trauma we carry around. We still suffer. Only we can feel the feelings that we shut down and abandoned for so many years. Recognizing and allowing those feelings to surface relieves us of this eternal anguish. It also gives the inner child, a feeling of worthlessness, a recognition of paying attention to him or her. We also need to grieve past incidences of trauma and abuse. Some relief is instantaneous. Here I am talking about the inner child to a certain degree, and I'm actually going to move on a little bit here too as well. It kind of ties into what I'm talking about being a man and having to keep your chin up and not really saying anything and, you know, being that macho thing and, you know, take it like a man, right? You may want, what I'm talking about here now, you may want to take this up, this process of your inner child, your codependent, as I'm talking about, with a therapist or somebody in a mental health profession. I've been dealing with this for quite a while, and granted, myself and my inner child, or me and my inner child, well, I'm sure we're still not on great terms, but I think we're getting along a hell of a lot better than we used to. And sure, and the reason why I can say that is because I am not, well, I'm not so self-destructive for one thing. Well, that's a big thing right there. Is I'm not so self, and I pushed on and moved on. Sure, I've got some things I got to work on, like hell, like anybody else. But the difference is I'm moving on, and I'm talking about it, and I'm working on it, and I haven't given up hope on myself. I'm hoping you do the same for yourself. So keep in mind, you can't heal anyone else's inner child, nor can anybody heal yours. That's what codependent attempts all the time. Like, it just doesn't work that way. A codependent is a person, if you're not clear on what a codependent is a person who is focused on needy person, like an alcoholic, drug addict, abuser, etc., 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 that they neglected their own needs. There are many false and self-defeating beliefs when caring from childhood that, you know, that could inhibit our emotional well-being. There are inaccurate thoughts and beliefs from others, such as, let's say, a parent or someone who we looked up to. These beliefs may also be formed subconsciously if we, you know, if we were abused, for example. Children automatically blame themselves for bad treatment they receiving from their parents and other persons of power, for example. What is left is a general attitude that we aren't worthy and we don't deserve to be successful, happy, loved, etc. Well, these are the beliefs that I grew up with. And my codependent, my inner child, for example, coached me along very, very well along those beliefs, as long as I can remember. You know, and my codependent, for example, had me very, very well tuned up to what, you know, my child wanted. Because all those years, I look back now and think, wow, man, what have I done? So the inner child feels safe and trusting enough to explore and express those feelings of how it felt when we were being criticized, neglected, shamed, abused, etc. It's natural for him or her to feel scared, lonely, angry, distressful. Letting him or her know that a safe place to express his or her feelings is really, really important. Like for me right here, right now, the gatehouse, for example, is a great place to come and talk about our feelings and not be judged, even if you are a man or you're a woman. It's no different. Yet, society still seems to thrive off this. Yeah, the person's down, so let's beat them down a little bit more. You know, that people just seem to just love that. You know, I still can't wrap my head around that, but nor will I. The inner child needs to know that he or she is protected. Well, I never knew that. I love you, but I certainly never felt that. The only way I got protected is by protecting myself when I was old enough to defend myself. Protected, but will also be allowed to be vulnerable. Not hidden away, as I was in my own. We were protected in our own inner child by establishing a clear and safe boundary. Safe boundaries and limits on how we will let ourselves be treated by others. So by having good boundaries is really, really important, as I've talked about before in previous shows that I've done. But, you know, as a child, I didn't really learn much about boundaries because my boundaries were basically taken away with all the other things that I had taken away when I started being sexually abused. You know, trigger warning here, knock, knock. Like, for example, I remember being... my first abuser, for example, he used to take me down to the basement. I lived in an apartment. This was with, I was still with my father before moving with my grandparents and a second wife. And my abuser used to take me down to the basement and abuse me. Nobody ever knew. Another place he used to take me was out by the river. To be more precise about it, it was the Ottawa River. I remember it. I smell the river still. To this day, I still smell the river. To this day, I smell the basement still. I still smell the mold or the mildew from the washing machine and the dryer. People used to hang your clothes downstairs because where I lived, you couldn't hang your clothes outside, so you had to hang down in the basement when your washing day was up. To hang on to you kind of make it hard to kind of change things a lot, change things about yourself or your beliefs about yourself. And you have those vivid memories where you're triggered like that. I know it did for me for many, many years, and I didn't even know why. You know, I go into a basement or I go by a river, a water. And the weird thing about it is that with the water is, well, I love to go fishing. But when I go fishing, I was always triggered. And I didn't know why, what was going on with me. Here I was supposed to be enjoying myself. And what it does is I go out there and I go back to my past where my abuser used to take me down the river. I mean, I remember like it was yesterday. You know, maybe 50 years ago now, but I still remember it like it was yesterday. Like, you know, it's like when I smell fresh coffee made in the morning. It's like me when I go down into the basement and I have a certain smell, I can smell it. And it reminds me of at those times where my abuser used to take me down there. How do you let that stuff go? Even as a man, really? Well, how, you know? My codependent is really holding on to me and saying, what the hell, Stu? What's going on, man? So let this stuff go? Aren't you supposed to move on? Well, hell no, I haven't. My codependent, my helper, helped me hold on to all this shit for all these years, believing that I was worthless and really had no value to myself or society. So, as a man, okay, you hear what I'm saying here? As a man, how am I supposed to be a productive person in society if I have those beliefs? Okay? Do I need someone from Hollywood or do I need someone from government to prop me and to push me to move forward, to be a better human being? Do I need... I don't know, what do I need to do that sort of thing? Well, as a man, am I supposed to already know that stuff? Was I supposed to learn this stuff in school? Or maybe in school when I was so messed up and I couldn't behave myself, I couldn't learn a damn thing because I was so messed up from what was being done to me. Well, interesting nonetheless, I guess. Not really, but that's really what happened. So here I am. I'm thinking like a man. I had my chin up for all those damn years, and really, what did it get me? It got me onto many types of addictions. I never had a relationship that lasted for any amount of time. I never trusted anybody. I still have a hard time trusting anybody. I've been screwed by so many people because of my false beliefs in the past. And I'm still cleaning up stuff in my past that how am I supposed to move on? Other than here I am now, I'm talking about it. I guess that's something, is it not? I don't know, but I guess it's something. As a man, we're supposed to just take it like a man. I'm getting so sick of hearing this and saying this, the change is, you know, it's there, and we can do it, and we'll be all right, and yeah, you know, you're tough, you can take it. Well, I kind of thought so. I was a very angry dude. I could take a lot of stuff. That's the way it used to be. But it didn't get me anywhere. Been in jail a few times because of my anger. You know, I don't know. Is that being productive? Being a part of the community, being part of you know, helping one, well, not even a question of helping one another, but just being, doing my part in community, or rather doing my part as a human being. Where does that fall into play? Or does it not fall into play? So, as you can see with the words that I'm talking here, there's an awful lot at bay here. Well, if I'm brought up on these beliefs and yet you don't follow them either, so what am I supposed to believe? Your so-called virtual beliefs of, you know, being good to one another, you know, help one another out and be good to thy fellow man and all that sort of stuff, it's a load of crap, really it is. What the church teaches, I think it's a load of crap too. You may disagree with me and hate me for saying so, but I disagree with that. Well, when you have a bunch of people going around, people you're supposed to trust, like our politicians, when you got these preachers that are going around and they're pedophiles, well, you know, or rapists, because I've heard of both, then what are you really supposed to believe? So what is society teaching us? What are we supposed to follow? What are we, you know, how are we supposed to teach our children that these things are wrong, and yet you seem to think that you're beyond all that and you can do that? I don't know. It's turning beyond me, and I'm really tired of thinking about it, and I can't really think about it much more because I don't even know what to say about that, or rather what I could add to that that's already been done. I don't think that words alone are going to change all that stuff. It's going to take action, lots and lots of action. But it comes out of that, it's just but, really. So, you know, if you've got politicians believing that it's all right to, you know, just to take the sexual advances on other women that in the workplace, so that kind of tells me that that in their view that, well, sexually abusing anybody, whether it be man or woman, another man, is all right by them. And it kind of constitutes a bit of a problem here, because in their so-called values that they're talking about now, in the court, rather in the government and elsewhere, that these so-called virtual beliefs are really a load of crap. If that really makes any sense. Well, really, does all of it doesn't make any sense, but there hasn't been any change other than people are talking about it more. Well, we need change. We need a lot more than what's being done, besides words. Words don't want to go so far. For a child, being a victim of abuse creates feelings of shame, guilt, anger, and abandonment, etc. The message that the inner child receives is, you're worthless, shameful, bad, not good enough. Reparenting ourselves can be difficult at first, especially if we didn't have the proper role models. Well, when I talk about role models, it's not like I didn't have any good role models around. It's just the role models were around when it was good, and when the bad was happening, the good role models weren't around. Does that make any sense or ring a bell? So if you don't quite get what I'm saying, I'll say it this way. So when I was supposed to be protected, I wasn't protected. When I was protected, then it didn't happen. Does that make it more clear what I'm stating? We must put the blame where it belongs, denying or limiting our abusers' responsibility in the pain that they have caused to you and me will have only sabotage and prolong our healing process. It's not necessary to confront our abusers face to face. Well, sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. Writing a letter to them will be safer and can be effective as well. Well, that's one way you can do it as well. I know that if I had the opportunity, I know one of my abusers, he's dead now, so I can't do that. The other ones I'm not so sure about. But by writing a letter, it has a positive point, and this is what I mean by that. For example, now, it allows you to, for example, you can script it. Oh, where did that come from? What I mean by that is you can pre-plan your letter and you can say exactly what's on your mind. And you can write it and rewrite it and write it and rewrite it or edit it many, many times. And you can say exactly what you wish. Right? It's kind of like you're making a victim statement at a court trial. The only difference is, well, who am I to say or no, but in this case, maybe the person that violated you or sexually abused you could be in jail already. Maybe you already made a victim statement or you've done something, or you would like to. Well, I know I never have, and I know some people that have, and I've heard good and bad things about it. So that's something that really would be my choice or your choice. It is your opportunity to express your truth, your feelings, and how life has been affected while you're avoiding the direct conversation, or rather confrontation by writing a letter. Don't expect any positive feedback from people who have hurt you by doing so, only because you're writing a letter, and frankly, would you put a return address on it? It is only when we have completed our inner child work that forgiveness is possible. Maybe it's possible. It's healthy and necessary to get angry, feel whatever emotions come up, and to adopt the role of empathetic observer to the inner child's past pain and traumas. Excuse me. It is important, number one, to remember, number two, to identify, and three, to express the past, present feelings of sadness, anger, rage. With a therapist, for example, or a really, really good friend or someone who's empathetic and understands. Recovery group, for example, or like at the Gatehouse, or a really, really good friend. We must be able to trust the person we are willing to tell our story to, and they need to simply listen and validate, not to offer solutions and options. It's a listener's job to be a validator. Excuse me. So finding a really, really good listener is what's important. My experience in doing this many years now, listening is really, really key. If you can master the art of listening, then you are a beautiful person. Because many people are so entrenched in their own thoughts and what's going on in their own lives that they can't take a step backwards and just listen. It's hard. I know that for some people. It's really, really hard because their lives are so, well, whatever they may be. But just really the truth of it. You got to remember, you can't heal anybody else's inner child, nor can anybody heal yours. That's what codependent attempts. A codependent is the person who is focused on needy person, as I've stated. Well, let me give you some objectives. Okay, the objective is to uncover a dysfunctional, self-defeating beliefs that we have about ourselves and replace them with more realistic, loving, supportive, and compassionate ones. To place responsibility for our abuse, mistreatment, squarely on our abusers, not on ourselves, as we've done. Well, I can't speak for you, but for myself, for example. Here's another goal. Number two, grieving the pain of loss and or of the abuse from our childhood, abstinence and early childhood alone and in individual group therapy or with a trusted others, you also need to tap into that anger and rage. Paradoxically, expressing that anger, rage over time in a safe environment like the Gatehouse helps to release it all, leaving you feeling more relaxed and at peace. Try to recapture what was lost. That childlike feeling of sensitivity, wonderment, and aliveness. Basically, it's the recovery of our true self and shedding that phony mask we wear. Well, number four, to eventually feel like the child, but we think like an adult. So, I hope I got you thinking now. But this is what it's going to take to do this. Let me just leave you with this one thought before I see this. And I'm quoting Arthur Lockhart, by the way. I'd rather be whole than perfect. I'm talking about courage. Let me tell you a little story. I was walking with Randy today. We're talking about fear and really what we're really conversing about was courage. Courage, we both agreed, is a necessary element for one to stay on a sacred path. Courage is born from my will to explore and appreciate my strengths and vulnerabilities. Courage entails and supports me move away from a state of withholding. Withholding is simply a form of fear, which ties up the energies or converts unusable transformational energy into unusable, constraining, confining energy. In essence, you become stuck. Courage allows me to move away from withholding experience because I am free of expressing my fears and vulnerabilities. This is when I am at my strongest, when I am able to voice my fears and vulnerabilities. I am able to realize the courage that I am able to let go of the fear. The simple act of letting go tells me immediately then that in the order to let go, I am one who is holding the fear. Literally, I am the one who is stuffing the fear into my visible knapsack. No one else has packed my knapsack. No one else can pack my knapsack. The knapsack is mine, all mine. Through the courage, I have transcended into fear by saying it here. Fear is, and I am letting me be free of fear. When do I nurture my courage? My immune system awakens. I am contracted illness, uncles, skin lesions, headaches, backaches, insomnia, overeat, undereat, develop nervous tics, to name a few. Courage, on the other hand, when it is embraced, immediately creates freedom of mobility of every possible level, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Courage is a form, rather, courage in this form, to me, encourages me to stay the course of my sacred path. I'm able to see that my path will be able to will have obstacles along the way, not to least which will be able it'll come right through old age is what I'm getting at. It'll always be there. Fear character, but when character does not surface, and indeed it will, I will have the courage to say thanks for showing up. I must be learning something new today, embrace the energy of the fear, and transform through courage into a liberating state. We talk about it around the gatehouse quite often. We talk about pause, the weight of the pause. Well, really what pause means is paying attention and reveals sacred experiences. And that's what coming to the gatehouse has done that for me. So try this at home. Reflect on the time when you were afraid to take initiative or on something that stopped you, froze you, and refused to continue on with an activity. What was that activity? What happened to your body? What happened to your voice? What happened to your thought process? If you were to give your fear a name or imagine in the circumstances of what would be, what would it be? Has this imagined surfaced for you before? Draw or imagine, sketch poem of fear, without holding back. Well, I know I told you about the pause. Throughout the old person's daily life experiences and obstacles in a variety of mysteriousness and even blame forms, the obstacle can be something yelling at you. The obstacle can be feeling not of being listened to. The obstacle can be frustrating. Someone cuts you off in the highway and takes the last parking space in the mall. Well, that can be really frustrating. The obstacle can be feeling taken advantage of, as I talked about earlier. The list of obstacles can be infinite. The pause exercise is simply a way of responding to obstacles as we seek out our sacred path. When you encounter obstacles along the way, do not react. Simply pause, saying to yourself, No, not here, not now. I'm not going to do this. I'm not. No, I'm not. And in the initial stage of your pause, give attention to your breathing, for example, or something to your body, and see yourself as having a critical task of ensuring that you're breathing. Like, pay attention to your breathing, leaves and enters your body, as it were, sacred to life, affirming your experience, for example. In other words, feel your breathing. Feel what you're doing. In the internal or appropriate to begin your response with, how will I or we create a healthy response to this? At a time that is good for you to write your experience, and what does your writing tell you about you? One of the questions you may speak to is, how do you free yourself from confining thoughts and behaviors? Well, here's a few guides that you can use, for example, which I had to do. For example, who are your heroes? What do they have or this person done to become a hero? What aspect of their way is being would you want to eliminate? So, okay, I've left you with some things here now. I'm not really going to continue on any longer. I think I've kind of said my piece, I did my rant, and I talked about my inner child or your inner child or the inner child period, my codependency, on how even as a man, I had these false beliefs, right? And well, I had those false beliefs, but here I am talking about it now. So here I am being vulnerable, and I'm not holding back, really, I'm not. So the idea, I guess what I'm trying to say tonight is that if you're a man and you've had this experience, you are a survivor or a victim of childhood sexual abuse, that I would really recommend, well, I encourage you, I appall you to come forward and talk about it, as I have, and I have been for many years. It's not an easy thing to talk about it, 6 years of age, and here I am sitting talking about this. As all the things I could possibly imagine thinking and wanting to do, here I am talking about childhood sexual abuse and my codependency. And I'm talking about being a man and being tough enough to even talk about this, or not being tough enough about this. What the hell is going on here? Well, I don't know what the hell is going on here. I've been more than clear about what I'm thinking and feeling and going. Well, anyway, I'm encouraging other men to go out there and talk about this. Don't be afraid to talk about this. Well, you know what? Let me rephrase that. Yes, don't be afraid to talk about it, but pick and choose who you talk to about this. Have good boundaries. Know who you can trust. Who's not going to stab you in the back just because you do? Not everyone's going to want to listen to this stuff. Trust me, they're not. You can pick and choose your battles as I've done over the years. And that's why I'm still floating, and that's why I'm still battling, because I've picked and choose who I talk about this stuff to. And as time goes on, excuse me, as time has gone on, times have changed again. People are talking about it. Even men, you would think, no, will not talk about this. They're talking about this stuff at whatever level. Well, at least you're talking about it instead of just being, yeah, I'm just a big tough meathead, and I don't need to talk about this stuff. Well, even they're thinking about it. You can't escape this anymore, guys, gals, everybody. Your time has come. Folks, first off, I should have said this right from the beginning. I'm neither a therapist nor a doctor, a psychologist, or anything of the sort. I'm only here offering my own affirmations, my own healing experiences from the Gatehouse here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. This broadcast is not here for therapeutic purposes of any sort whatsoever at all. I'm only here, as I've stated, to offer my own affirmations and my healing experiences, which I have done at the Gatehouse here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So, folks, self-care, take care of yourself. Have a great week. I will be back next week, and I'm sure I'll have some really good stuff to talk about. So, folks, take care. Good night.